Hello, everybody. Welcome today to the Thursday edition of our just going through the scriptures. I want to welcome you today. I hope that you guys are getting hope out of all of this. I'm also doing a series, a 1 minute of hope for each day. So if you can grab a hold of that, you know, we're looking, my ministry, you can get in contact with us, tomandsarahministries@gmail.com. That'll get you to my my email. We can get you information about the ministry. Some of the things we do, we go to the homeless, go to the people at the stores, on the streets, and we minister the gospel to them. We give them one of these bands after we do so that they can remember, first of all, that God had spoken to them, healed them, or whatever, and then they can also kind of go back to that day, and they can, you know, hopefully they will go and seek God's kingdom. If you want some of these, email me. I'll tell you how to get them. They're $1 each, so tell me how many you want. Also, we're trying to raise $400, $500 a month to help feed them. We're going to get sandwiches and things like that to them, drinks, tarps maybe, you know, because some of them, they're sleeping, some of the qualified ones are sleeping on the, you know, and it's raining now, it's a rainy season. So won't you help? We're looking for $500 a month. We take Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, Zelle. I have a GoFundMe account to try to get transportation so I'm not walking with these bags everywhere. Anyway, you can get contact me at my email address, Tom and Sarah Ministries, and we'll get that to you. Also, I have two books out that help to bring in funds for the ministry, and one of them is called SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. It's a devotional, 5-minute-a-day devotional, interactive. And also another one called From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. And it gives you resources on soul health. So there we are, Tom and Sarah Ministries at gmail.com. Okay, there's our 3 minutes of commercial. And now we're on. Now we're back in John chapter 7. Oh, subscribe to my YouTube channel, Tom and Sarah. Subscribe to my podcast, Tom and Sarah, Abounding Hope. Okay? All right. Verse 40, they said that he was a prophet. He's the Messiah. And then they said, how could he be? Don't the scriptures say he'll be one of David's descendants and be born in Bethlehem? They didn't research Jesus' genealogy. They found out that he was born in Bethlehem. So the crowd was divided. Anyway, we go to verse 45. So when the temple guards returned to the Pharisees and the leading priests without Jesus, they were questioning, where is he? Why didn't you bring that man back with you? And they answered, you don't understand. He speaks amazing things like no one else has ever spoken. So people are amazed at the way Jesus talked. He's not just this fly-by-night guy who has nothing to say. He is somebody that can really speak and speaks to the heart. And so they answered him. Then the religious leaders mocked and says, oh, so now you have been led astray by him? Do you see one of us, your leaders, following him? This ignorant rabble swarms around him because none of them know anything about the law. They're all cursed. Just because somebody doesn't agree with you doesn't mean they're wrong. Search it and find out. They mocked him. I believe they mocked him because of their insecurity of being religious leaders. They also mocked him, mocked these people because how can, you know, where are the smarter ones, not you? And then they call the rabble ignorant. Have you ever done that? You're talking to people and then they don't agree with you, so you say that they are ignorant. and you start mocking them. Well, don't do that. If you're a leader, especially, don't do that. Remember, they are God's children. They are God's, Jesus paid for them. Whether they're born again or not, Jesus still paid for them. And if they are born again, they are the bride of Jesus. So stop mocking God's bride. So just then, Nicodemus spoke up. He had secretly spent time with Jesus, and he said this. And he spoke up because he had a respected voice among them. And he cautioned them. He says, does our law decide a man's guilt before we first hear him and allow him to defend himself? So even now, you know, jury of his peers, come. And then they argued. So now you're an advocate of this Galilean. So, I mean, Evel Knievel couldn't make that jump. He was just saying, hold on a second. Let the guy defend himself. Talk to him. Hear him. And then they said, search the scriptures, Nicodemus, and you'll see that there's no mention of a prophet coming out of Galilee. Well, apparently they didn't know Jewish history because Jonah, he wasn't from Galilee. He was from a village that was about 3 miles from Nazareth. And it is also believed that Elijah, Nahum, and Hosea came from Galilee. And then so if you go to Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, it would prophesize that Jesus' Galilean ministry was prophesied. So let's go there, if you will, Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. And he says this, nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her. By the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light is shined. So here it is prophesied that Jesus was that Jesus was going to come from Galilee. That Jesus was going to come from Galilee. So how did they come to that conclusion? We don't know. And then so with that, their debate ended, and they each went their own way. So, you know, if you say, I heard this in debate class, that if you say something loud enough and more sternly, people will believe it as true. We'll find it in our media today. They act like everybody, all the media, they act like they know everything and they know very little. Or I shouldn't say they know very little. I should say that they are showing that they haven't searched everything out. Okay? So here we are. They each went their own way after this. And you know, I don't know why they were so divided about Jesus. I don't know why the religious leaders were so full of unbelief. It's because I believe this, that Jesus was so opposite of the way they did things. They did everything by tradition. And Jesus wants what God wants, and that is everything to be done by heart. Remember, when the crowd heard the words of Jesus, some said, this man really is a prophet. Others said, he's the Messiah. Go with your heart. I believe that when it comes to God, you have to go, you have to believe him. And he speaks to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. Go for it. Remember, Bible knowledge, they had an understanding of the Bible, but they still missed who Jesus was. If you go to the Bible, it becomes let me say this, without the Holy Spirit, okay, without the Holy Spirit speaking to you, studying the Bible just becomes an academic exercise. We need the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and bring us to Jesus. Otherwise, it just keeps us in that thing that we're very skeptical. Okay, I used to work in radio, and naturally, radio people are very skeptical. They jumped to these conclusions and they didn't realize that Jesus came from Nazareth. But he was born in Bethlehem and was a true descendant of David. From you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, you know, the Messiah was going to come. Micah 5:2. And you can read all of this and you can understand it. You have to study. And one of the criticisms of Christians is they take Bible verses out of context. God does not want you to take Bible verses out of context. He wants you to keep it not only in context, but understanding that it is from his heart and from love that he does these things. The temple guards couldn't arrest him because they were like, wow, he's speaking pretty cool things. And people will mock you for making a decision and doing something that's right and that's good. But you have to resist the mocking. I never, most of the time, I'm learning. But most of the time, I don't even respond to people mocking me for what I say or what I do. I had a vision going to heaven, and people mocked me about it, you know. But it happened to me. It didn't happen to them. I share my testimony. It happened to me. It didn't happen to them. That's why I always bring the Word of God everywhere that I go. And this fight with the Pharisees continues. We're going to get into it tomorrow in John chapter 8. But the deal is that the Pharisees and the religious leaders are so upset because Jesus is throwing a wrench in their traditions and in their works. And you have to just go, Jesus, the Son of God, had to deal with the people that were supposed to be in love with him, and he had to deal with them regularly. Why does John focus so much on the contradiction of the religious leaders and Jesus fighting with the religious leaders? I believe it had a lot to do with John wanting just to show, hey, listen, religious people always will turn away God, and they will always find a reason to turn away from God. Always. No question about it. They will always find a reason to turn away from God, and they will push you off the cliff to make it seem that they're right. Now, I love preachers, and I hope people do this for me, do this to me as well. But when I go to a church, especially, you know, in my home church, but not only there, but when I go visiting, if I'm traveling and I go to a church, I listen to what they're saying. And if it's something that is different than what I'm understanding, I will go to the scriptures to see if it's so. I don't have all biblical knowledge. I don't have that. I'm learning every day, just like you should be learning every day. We should be, as the Bible says, Bereans, where we search the scriptures to see if they're so. It's really simple. Search the scriptures to see if it's so. People will argue with you, and they will make fun of the fact that you follow Jesus. People will. But you cannot allow them to push you away from what God has placed in your heart. You can't allow it. You have to be steadfast. When I gave my heart to Jesus, I went home, and my brother warned me. He said, don't tell mom or dad. And so I got home, and my mom was visibly upset about something. And I said, I met someone that can help you. And she had this demonic look on her face. And I said, his name is Jesus. And then, and I'm not saying my mom had a demon, but she was very like this. Mad. And I said to her, I said, Mom, his name is Jesus. And her face softened up. And I said, I gave my heart to Jesus. So my mom and dad came and they said, hey, you want to do that? That's fine. But do not proselytize the family. My sister ended up getting born again. My dad, before he passed away, my mom, before she passed away, my mom got saved, I think, in the 90s. And then she developed dementia, and she ended up dying of dementia. Her body forgot that she was in pain. She, shattered her hip, and her body just forgot to be in pain. She ended up dying. She had cancer, too. My dad died of cancer, but they were born again. My extended family got born again. Praise God. So do you see what the deal is? God loves you and he wants you and he's calling for you. Our hope today is not to be disrupted by other people's opinions. Your hope today is staying steadfast in what's happened to what the Bible says and your experience with God. Now, I try not to judge people based on their experience or whatever. And I learned that lesson the hard way. We had a guy that, he was a month or so saved. Born again for about a month, right? And this was pretty funny. But what happened was he would go out after worship. He would stand in the front during worship, raise his hands, blah, blah, blah. And he would do that. And then he would go outside after and he would smoke 2-3 cigarettes, curse, everything else. And then he would try to prophesy to people in the church. And the security people, they tried to put a nix to that. I got judgmental about, how can you do this? Well, the Lord convicted me. He said, who are you to judge the servant of another man? He is my bride, not your bride. I'm dealing with that. I found out later that he was dealing with so many other things at the same time that, smoking and cursing and wasn't that big of a deal. Is not your bride. And I would criticize. In fact, I even criticized the Lord. How can you allow this? Anyway, to coin a phrase, I was wrong. And then Nicodemus, who speaks the word of God, and they said, search the scriptures, you'll see. I believe Nicodemus already did. I believe Nicodemus already searched the scriptures. Search the scriptures and see if it's so. Be a Berean in that. All right, well, that's it for today. I thank you for joining me. Remember, get the books. If you get them from me, it's $20, including shipping, and that includes shipping and handling. What is handling? Who knows? But it includes shipping. So get the books from me. If you get them from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Walmart.com, you can get them from them as well. So you can do that. Tom and Sarah Ministries at gmail.com. Again, when I'm ministering to people, I give these out. It says, seek God's kingdom. I give them out afterwards so people will remember. You know, you're attaching something that'll bring back to their memory their encounter with the Lord. I sell them for $1 a piece. Email me, tell me how many you want. And again, $1 a piece, okay? So, yeah, that's it for today. If you want to donate into the ministry, Cash App is $ Tom and Sarah. Venmo is at Tom-and-Sarah. PayPal is at T and Sarah. There's Zelle and use my phone number, but email me for the other ones and we'll get that. We're trying to raise $400 to $500 a month to help out in the ministry to what we do. It just goes to everything that we do. Okay. Well, anyway, God bless you guys today. Listen to my 1 minute of hope. You know, I post those on TikTok, Facebook, every day, and Instagram, and listen to it, and then go for it, okay? And this is the year to be hope-filled, okay? Hopeful. All right. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time.